Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday, look back over a difficult period and let yourself redo it the way it would have been if you had known then what you know now. Record and listen.
All right.
Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, Colin.
Oh, hello. It's Colin here. Hi. yes. Oh, yes. This is great. And it was really lovely to be able to sort of go back and revisit something that had been quite difficult, really, or been very difficult. And with the benefit of practice, actually, yeah. That was really lovely to be able to do that. And I was.
Colin?
Yeah.
Can I ask you, are you saying that this gave you an opportunity to see how much you've changed, how much more you can see since practice?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Oh, yes, okay. Yes, that's right. It probably would never have happened, wouldn't happen now, I don't think. To just see one of the things, you know, having all the practice tools available now, that I would be able to just, you know, just call upon those now, and it would have made it much easier. And I remember at the time I was, I was still learning the practice tools, and and of course now I was just thinking, for example, like reflective listening buddies, I know I've got that there every week. It's in place, and should a piece of content arise in some time in the future, I know I've got that there to support me. And I didn't then. I was still going, struggling with that, you know, getting it under my belt sort of thing.
That's what made me so excited about this particular question. Because that's how we're tortured, right? I mean, people go back to being 16 years old and they're still being beaten for something they did when they were 16. And to be able to see our lives from this perspective of, I didn't know all of this. I didn't have these tools. I couldn't have made a different choice because I didn't know a different choice existed. There's just so much understanding and kindness for ourselves that can come from that.
Yes, that's right, and not to be complacent about it either, because I was thinking about working meditation and how much that has benefited me, and how conditioning will really try and hammer me sometimes during working meditation, and to be with that, and how that's really helped me, particularly if I want to be assistance to somebody, to know that there probably will be a voice shouting at me in the background, and to ignore it and to actually assist.
Yes. Oh my God. That's perfect. That's it, isn't it? That may be. It's hard to say what is the biggest thing we get out of practice, but boy. That's a huge one, isn't it? That voice is going to be there. It's going to be yelling at me. It's going to be telling me I'm doing everything wrong and people hate me or whatever it is. And, yeah, I know what it is. And I know that it's not true. What it's saying is not true. Wow.
Yeah, and I think in this difficult situation, I became aware of that voice for the first time. And I was sort of still thinking, well, is that me, what you know, what's going on with that? But I think now, you know, I'm not much clearer, but yeah, there's this voice that shouts at me and tells me that I shouldn't be doing things or whatever, and just hugely grateful for the whole thing. It's really great.
We're just so fortunate because we know lots of people who don't know that, who don't know that voice is not God, and that it's not wise, and it's not telling the truth, and the suffering that exists, we can look back at our own lives and see how we suffered believing that what that voice was saying about us was true, and to recognize it's not. It's just huge. Life-changing.
Yeah, it is. And, for me to recommit to practice, because, you know, I'm not getting shouted at this moment, but I know that voice is ready, is waiting, and, to prepare myself for the next time it starts off, really, yeah.
Well, that's your next great point for this morning, afternoon, depending on where we live. Yes, that one of the things that ego does to us in practice is try to get us to either just quit because it's too hard, which is kind of the early phase of it, or not tell us to quit, but just talk us out of practicing because you're so happy. Everything is going so well. Why? You don't need to do that. And you're very wise in recognizing that, yeah, I do need to do that, because all it's doing is running another scam. It's not like it went away. It's just talking to me about a different subject. And it's just waiting for me to have a moment of unconsciousness, and that voice is going to be right back there.
Yes, and so I think it is helpful with practice to do that in a structured way, rather than just sort of be walking down the street one day and it sort of be, you know, whacked around the head by it. To consciously, I suppose, like with setting up commitments and that sort of thing, isn't it? So to do it in a structured situation is very supportive, I think.
Yes, and one of the things we're fond of saying is that willingness is there when I don't want to, and that's what we're committing to. It's not, I feel like it. Yeah, I want to do this. No. It's kind of like eating well or getting enough sleep or any of the other things that we do that we know we have to do to take care of ourselves, that the voices would still talk us out of every chance it gets. But we make a commitment. I brush my teeth all the time, not just when I feel like it. And that's how we have to be with awareness practice, or we're just going to live in undulations. I do it when I have to because I'm suffering, or I do it when I feel like it. And that's a commitment to a lifetime of suffering. So if I just do it, whether I want to or not, whether I feel like it or not, I do it.
Yes. Oh, I hadn't seen that. Yes. Yeah, so I need to go off now and I think make some commitments, I think, to keep me on track.
Yes, exactly.
Commit to something.
One of the ways we talk about it, of course, is when we leave a retreat, we commit to our next one. You know, so I always have practice commitments. So if I'm not going to be at a retreat for a while, I'm doing reflective listening buddies. I'm doing a group coaching. I'm doing the year-long retreat. I'm always committed to something, so that there aren't those gaps where ego works on us, either to take us down into a pit or talk us into it's not necessary. You know, it's either a slow fall or a fast fall. But when we stop paying attention, the fall is going to be there. That much we can know. There's no coping.
Yes, well, thank you for that, because I think I might have slipped into coasting. I will look at that.
It's comfortable, right? And the thing that, to me, is the saving grace in this is we're so much happier when we're practicing. So it's not really, it's not like we have to do something that's a hardship. Life is better when we're present, and all we're doing is committing to a better life for ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Oh, well, thank
lovely.
You.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. Lovely to speak to you. Thanks, Ashwini, as well. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye, Colin.
Thanks, Colin. That was such a fun conversation, Terry. So many of our practice principles, but the one that struck out for me is simply that when we look at something that we did, look at something that was difficult and the knowledge that we have right now that we didn't have before, that mm-hmm. place of the compassion with which we can embrace ourselves, and also that knowing that life is that a practice path is the process of being of having revealed to us what we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
That there is no mistake in that happened to me, because that allowed me to see something that I hadn't seen before.
Yes. Yes. And that only a cruel, hateful voice would beat somebody up for something in the past. That's just how it is. Because with anything that we did, and we've all done things that we just cringe when we consider them now, you know, it's not like we went into the situation and saying, you know, this is a really stupid, hurtful, awful thing, and I'm going to do it. That was just not how we were operating. We did it, and as you're saying, we learned as a result of doing that, that is not something I want to repeat. That's mm-hmm. that's the learning process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Ladima.
Hello, Ladima.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. I'm not sure where to start.
I know that feeling. So there's a lot going on here. Yeah.
So I kind of got stuck on your point about doing things because they take care of us. And, you know, doing practice because it takes care of me, like it's like brushing your teeth. And of course, I don't have problems brushing my teeth. Mm-hmm. But it's like I do have trouble following through on the practice commitments on an ongoing basis.
Mm-hmm.
And making them in the first place.
I can promise you, you're not alone in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly practicing when I get desperate and I'm so rock bottom that I've got nothing else to do, you know, no other choice. Mm-hmm. You described my life. and so anyway, it sort of makes the thing that I did in the exercise, it's like, oh, no wonder, because the thing I chose to do in the exercise was a situation where I did something that I would not, something against my values, deeply against my values, and then there were all the consequences then of that, lost relationship, and all the sadness and suffering that comes along with that, and then the horrible guilt on top of it, while you're in the situation, you caused it yourself. And looking back on that, it's been a while ago, and it's like, okay, I kind of see how maybe I could have prevented the situation. But once I'm in that situation of the sadness and the loss and everything else, it's like I don't have a lot of confidence that I would be able to do much differently. I mean, I could.
You know what?
I would.
You know what, Ladima? That is the source of humility. What do you call it? Recovery programs.
Yeah.
That's what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We can't. We can't do it on our own. Which is why we need practice. Because on our own, we're just simply too vulnerable to, as we like to say, kalpas of karma and conditioning. So what we're really talking about
in this, in awareness practice, is growing up. So anybody who has kids or can remember being one early on knows that brushing the teeth is a pitched battle on a regular basis. Now, of course, now, you know, toothpaste for kids are like candy. So, you know, they'll eat the toothpaste, right? But brushing the teeth is still, those kinds of things are just, but there's a grown-up there who knows that, I know you hate this. I know it's awful. This is good for you. I'm gonna hold you to it because it's for your benefit. I love you. I want you to have teeth, and so I'm gonna hold the line here, and that's the relationship that we move into with ourselves, because that part of us who is not capable of going up against egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate needs an ally, needs support. Mm-hmm. And that's what practice is for us. That's what the mentor is for us, right? We have that support. When it left to ourselves, we would give in. We just would.
Yeah.
And there's no shame in that. You know, the ego will say to people, well, you should be able to do this on your own. If you were the right spiritual person, you wouldn't need all of that support. Well, okay. Maybe yes, maybe no. Fact of the matter is, I need the support.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that, again, that's the humility. Yeah, left to myself, I fall for really bad choices. Yes, I do. So I'm not going to be alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the nut of, you know, kind of how I would prevent the thing in the first place was person that I would reach out to.
Yeah, support.
And how I would, yeah, that would be the best thing that I could do.
Yeah.
And it still might not work, but that would be a better thing than where I was.
And here's the thing for me about that, Ladima. If it doesn't work in this case, it's because I'm not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
There's still more for me to see about this. And again, that's the humility. I'll stay in this situation until I've seen everything there is to see. Until, you know, the old walking down the street, falling into the hole. Until I know 3 blocks ahead that hole is coming up. I know how to avoid it. I don't go to sleep and fall in any longer. Good.
Right.
Done. Finished. Karma over.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Let her off the hook, okay?
Okay. All right. Thanks.
All right. Good. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ladima.
Are you having computer issues, Ashwini?
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Hello? Can you hear me? Can you not hear me, Sharon?
Yeah, I can hear you now. You were a big blank spot a minute ago.
Well, I was talking about that last conversation, but how about I bring on the next caller? Next caller.
And get that mute button working, right? So you can get on mute.
Yes, something.
All right. Thank
Here we
you.
Go. Next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sandy.
Hello, Sandy.
Hello. I would have been curious to hear what you had to say, Ashwini, but I will just speak.
Are you Sandy in Berkeley, in Pennsylvania, in Florida?
You have a wonderful memory. I'm Sandy in Berkeley.
All right, good. Gotcha.
Yeah, this one was interesting, and I'm glad that you mentioned, like, that falling in the hole story, because that's the one that kept popping out to me, and I'm grateful, too, for what you said about, the humility to see that we walked into the hole because, or I walked into the hole because I just didn't know how to recognize the whole as a whole at that
That's
time.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So
That's exactly right.
Like a few years ago, I took a job and I'd been unemployed for some time and I was really scared and financially, and I took this job and it was not a good fit and kind of destructive to me, I guess. What was coming to my mind as I did the exercise was like, you know, I thought of a couple of friends, one woman who came and took a job at this company and she just left within 2 weeks. And I thought of a friend who left a job that didn't work for her, and she had this fancy corporate job, but she took a job as like a nanny because she was like, well, this isn't working. I want to pay my bills. And she had the gift of, you know, a great connection with this family during that time. And, I don't know if I'm making sense, but I,
Well, yes, if I can project, and I do all the time. So you took this job and basically got stuck there and stayed in unhappiness because of fear, I'm guessing, financial fears. And what you watched is this other woman give up what was, in the world's view, a good job, possibly a great job, because she just wasn't happy. And so she was open to something else that she could do to do what was motivating her, which is, I want to pay my bills. And so how can I pay my bills and do something that I feel good about?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And what was coming to my mind as I was filling in the box was like, you know, I could have delivered food for Postmates. Like I could have, you know, worked at a bakery counter. I could have done all these things, you know what I mean? Been okay. So, but I think I had the spiritual rationale, like, you know, oh, it's like, don't quit. Like, you know, the ego tells you to quit and you should, you know, this is the job you've been given and blah, blah, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, well, ego masquerading as spiritual wisdom, doing everything that it could to keep you in a situation where you were unhappy.
Yes. And some, you know, the humility to work below my level or whatever. You know what I mean? The humility.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Would have been a solution, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, I knew a guy years ago who had his PhD from Cal Berkeley and delivered mail on a rural route in the backwoods of Tennessee. Yeah, because what he realized is that PhD from Cal Berkeley was supposed to give him a life he wanted. It didn't.
Yeah.
Delivering mail on a rural route in the backwoods of Tennessee gave him the life he wanted.
Yeah. I see that.
So that's where you are now, right? And the humility to be, in this case, guided by life, to just be still, to choose her, right? To choose a human being, not to choose ego and what she should be doing and how she should be living her life, but really talk to her. What kind of a life does she want? And then pursue that.
Right. It's kind of amazing how I feel like life deeply values my own happiness.
Yes, I would concur. I mean, I don't know that, obviously, but it certainly seems that way, doesn't it? It seems like that's what we're constantly being guided to. And so why not just accept it, huh? Life wants you to be happy. So do your part. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Do your part and be happy. Yeah.
If I must.
If you must. And things just start to open up. Possibly, just like you said, I could work in a bakery. I could be a delivery person. I could be a nanny. What do you enjoy? What would you like to do? What you want to do is pay your bills and be happy. Yeah. So that's a different life view than I should be the person that the negative voices in my head say I should be. And by the way, they're never happy with anything I do or any way I am. Yeah. So once we see that, we take that little sharp turn in the path, the one that points toward happiness and well-being.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let us know.
Will do.
All right. Thanks, Andy.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Andy.
Bye-bye.
Sherry, we have time for one more caller, so here we go.
All right.
Next caller.
All right.
You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Helga from Charleston.
Hey, Helga.
Hi. You know, it's so
what
funny. Well, first of all, what I'm seeing is, you know, I've been doing most of the exercises, and I call in, and you guys are so popular, so it's really hard to get on the phone with you. And
uh-huh.
then I had this thought came in, they blocked my phone number. They see my phone number, and they just ignore it. You know, and it's just, and I'm thinking, isn't that amazing? I mean, the stuff that the mind comes up with.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's unbelievable.
It's,
you know, fortunately,
it's truly fortunately, crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And I'm seeing that now with another person, how utterly crazy the mind is. So this exercise was so good for me, not only because, you know, I can see that in doing the exercise, I could see, yeah, you know, that's all I knew at the time. And it was, you know, very often very unskillful behavior, but I just didn't know any better.
Yes.
And now I can
yes.
see it differently. So now I actually have a chance to do it differently. You know, it's like I might not
yes.
always do it differently, but at least afterwards I can say, yeah, you know, this is what happened. And then I have a chance the next time. And
precisely.
There's so much forgiveness in that process.
Yes.
And because
yes.
I've been having this really rough time with this other person who has no is completely asleep to all of this and can't get out of it. It also gave me some space for forgiveness for whatever this other person is doing because they also don't know any better.
Yes, yes. And when you were talking earlier on, I thought the other thing it can do, this awareness can do, is explain the world. I mean,
it does.
If
I can
yeah.
suddenly see why people do what they do. I can, and why I do what I do.
Yes.
I can see it more clearly. And it's just, so what came up for me is, I mean, really, I've never been in a place like this before where I feel like, you know, I can suddenly understand the craziness of this person without
yes.
having to get angry at them. I mean, I have gotten angry at them, but I understand it now because that person is completely unaware of
yes.
what he's doing. So
yeah.
so suddenly,
yep.
once in a while, I fall into this place of yeah, of compassion for this person because I know what kind of suffering that is and such gratitude, you know, really for what you guys, how you guys have opened my eyes to my inner world. I mean, 2 years ago, I had no idea. I just didn't.
Right. We don't. You know, I don't know if you how familiar you are with Christianity, but the last thing or one of the two last things that Jesus said on the cross, forgive them for they know not what they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yes. I translate that for myself into forgive us for we know
yeah.
not what we do. You know,
right.
And that's it. That's it right there.
Yeah.
That's all the wisdom we need to have compassionate acceptance for ourselves and for everybody else. It's not easy to live, but at least we understand it.
Yeah. And, you know, and I have to say, it's like, and I marvel about that, too. It's like, you know, I've been involved in various spiritual engagements over my life. And with all of that, I have to say, I did not get any of that clarity, how the mind works, how ego works. And mm-hmm. I'm not sure why that is. You know, it's like, oh, I don't know. This has been such an awakening for me,
mm-hmm.
in a way that I've never come across anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. And I think that the one thing that our practice has, and that other people say this as well, not just me, but what our practice has is step-by-step how-to.
Yeah.
And it makes all the difference, because I know some of the things that you've been engaged with, and some of those are things that have been very powerful for me in my own practice with teachers who were just so brilliant and had such clarity. But not, it didn't necessarily translate into how do I get to where, in this case, he is. That was the missing piece.
Yeah.
And I do think our practice has that. It has the step-by-step to go from where we are, as the book title says, to where we want to be. So I can see the compassion of Jesus, and there are steps to take to reach that place, which is what you're describing.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway.
We're lucky.
I'm very lucky. Very lucky.
Me too.
Very lucky.
Yep. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Helga.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Helga. Wow. That's all I can say, Sherry. Wow. And I think that's the end of the show.
Wow, and here we are.
Yes, and our assignment today. Let yourself recall something you consider unfinished. Would you like for it to be finished? How could you finish it? Write and or draw below. Record and listen.
Mm. Oh, these are good, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cleaning up karma in very specific kinds of ways. Very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Ashwini. And
thank you, Sherry.
Everybody.
And take care, and we'll talk to everyone tomorrow.
All right. Go happy.